of Wildy and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch for the time being. Jason Wildy on his way over to mandatory minicamp practice number 3 for the Green Bay Packers. I'm sure we're going to talk about the fact that they're actually practicing. Yeah, Tausch?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. In the past, we've seen this be that getaway day where they go do something fun and then everybody hits the road and they get their month and some change off before training camp opens the end of, I guess, 23rd of July. And that was always something I think we as players enjoyed. But I love the fact that LaFleur is not doing that this year. I think that whole thing with the limited amount of practice time that they have and with the young players, it's fun to go golf. I think they went skeet shooting and you do paintball. That stuff is all fun, and it does bring some camaraderie to it. I would actually prefer them do that during training camp.
Oh.
They get these off days. I think it would be better suited to do that then. Now you're
Why?
Getting guys prepped.
What's the difference?
I just told you. I think right now you have 3 days. You do it. Training camp, even in this new abbreviated phase, you give guys days off. You give guys – take an afternoon where you're going to maybe watch film or do something, combat, you still do your practice, and then go do something fun that day where you get that bonding and you do that during when things are a little more grindy. This is more, I think, this is what people are doing. We're going to team bond. I like the fact that they gave them a week. They're going to get started a little bit, and you're actually getting to work and doing it rather than taking a bus ride to go bowling for an afternoon.
So it will be exciting to hear Jason sharing, once again, his observations and insights as Packers mandatory minicamp practice number 3 is technically already underway. They're getting stretched out right now. Jason will be there sharing what he sees from Packers minicamp coming up here on Wildy and Tausch. Until then, we're going to play trivia presented by Vortex Golf coming up next. But before that, I do want to share this with you, Tausch, because I wanted to ask you something about the October 26th showdown that everyone's counting down to now between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because their minicamp is also going on this week as well. Matt LaFleur was asked yesterday about Aaron Rodgers joining the Steelers, if he's had any interaction with him thus far. Here is how the Packers head coach addressed that question.
I have not, no. I think I've been saying it for a while now. I totally anticipated this. Probably took a little longer than I even anticipated, but it doesn't shock me. So, it'll be a great challenge for us. We all know what type of player he is and how good he is, and I'm sure he'll be telling everybody all our signals, so we'll have to, maybe play that mind game with him a little bit.
Playing mind games with Aaron Rodgers. Tausch, who do you think of these three options? Who does the game on October 26th matter the most to? Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, or Jordan Love?
Aaron Rodgers.
Why?
I think Rodgers, anytime you are, and it wasn't an unceremonious, I guess, dumping, but the way things kind of shook out, the Packers are here and they're going to be here for a while. And Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur are going to be here for a while. I don't know what Pittsburgh's season's going to hold. I would be surprised if this isn't Aaron's last season. And when you're in your last seasons and your last part of your career, I think you're looking now more for moments rather than looking at the big picture. And I think for Aaron, maybe this will be a magical season and everything will fall and the Pittsburgh Steelers will win a world championship. I am not going to take a look at that when we go down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford next week. But that game will mean a lot to him because he could become one of 5 quarterbacks to beat every team in the NFL. I think that's something. But more so, I think there is the, I can have a big boy moment at the end of my career against someone that I mentored, against a coach that I liked, but I also want to show that front office that, I can still play football. I can still lead teams to winning. And I think when you factor all of those things in, and the big part of this for me, why I answered that question that way, is this is going to be one of his last big moments. If Pittsburgh struggles, we're not going to be talking about them in November, December. That's why I really think the league screwed up here. This should have been a September game. There's too many things can go wrong that this matchup, this is going to be such a sexy matchup. Should have been the opener, but if it wasn't the opener, it should have been a Monday night game in September or a primetime September game. Too many other things. You're talking about 8 to 10 weeks in an NFL season. I am very nervous that we're not going to get to it. I hope we do. I hope everybody stays healthy and everything stays, you know, so this matchup can play. And I hope Pittsburgh's in a position where this is going to be a big boy matchup. It would have been a lot easier just to put this earlier in the schedule, because I do think this is one of those intriguing games that everybody, not just Packer fans and Steeler fans, are going to have a lot of attention to. Do you think it's somebody else?
Well, no, I'm asking of those three. Well, I think Brian Gutekunst is the answer. I purposely didn't ask you about him because
you didn't even put him in the question.
Correct, because I think that's far and away the actual answer. Like, who does that game mean the most to? It's Goody, who decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
But Jesse,
right?
But Jesse, here's where I would disagree. Even if Rodgers beats the Packers with the Steelers, you really think Goody made the wrong choice?
No.
So why would you make, how can you answer the question that way then?
Because it, like you said, if it's Aaron Rodgers' last dance with the Pittsburgh Steelers and in his NFL career, and he's able to beat the Packers the one time he plays against them, then, like, think about if Favre hung it up after the first season with the Vikings and he finished 2-0 all time against the Green Bay Packers. He would be able to say, "They're like, I won because I went back and I beat them. They came here and I beat them again. That's 2-0. The following year, the Packers put it on the Vikings, and that changed the narrative of his time in Minnesota and how that ended. So for Rodgers to say that he got the win over the Packers in the one showdown against them, I think he gets to say, I stuck it to Goody. Goody loses.
Yeah,
I win. And there you go.
Yeah, you're answering the question the way I just answered it. It's for Aaron. Because I'm telling you right now, Goody and the Packers, I would be disappointed you lost to Pittsburgh. But they're not going to say, boy, we really screwed up because now the Steelers ended up going 7-10 and missing. We went 11-6 and are in the playoffs. But, man, we screwed up. We shouldn't have made that move. No one's going to say that. This is all going to be for Aaron. Not for yes, we all want to win. We do that. And as far as the Favre deal goes, had they won a championship with Minnesota, 100% agree with you. But the fact that he gutted the Vikings fan base with a heart-wrenching Paul Allen crying call just added to the lore from a Packer fan standpoint. It makes it even better.
This is not Detroit, this is the Super Bowl.
Exactly, Paul. I couldn't have said any better.
Haven't hit that button in a while. I like that one.
I get all of those points, but it's Goody got it right. And no victory in Pittsburgh is going to change that either way. Now, if Pittsburgh goes on and wins a championship with Aaron this year,
well, yeah.
I still don't know if I'm going to – the only way it would have been that way is if Jordan Love stunk and the Jets won a championship in year one or year two. And you know what? That ship has sailed, and it is coming. It's come up green and gold, not jet green or Pittsburgh – golden black, I think, right?
Yeah. Black and yellow, popular song.
It's more of an entertainment thing for me, and I think it is obviously going to be a big-time game, both because everybody's so competitive, but I think the Packers could walk out of that game getting beat 41-7, and everybody will be blanking on them, but if they're 7-2 and leading the division, and Pittsburgh is 4-5 or whatever the math adds up on that, it is what it is, man. It's just a game.
I don't think most people look at Goody with the green and gold glasses the same way that you do, and especially if you want to talk about like national perception and national intrigue that'll be around this game. People don't look at it as deep as we do on this show about what Goody's done with picks and trades and everything to stack the roster the way that he has. You just look at it, Aaron Rodgers, Brian Gutekunst, and it's one piece of evidence. I can say that. I was a juror last week. One piece of evidence that says Aaron Rodgers has a victory over Goody since their breakup. And it's the only evidence you have for that.
I'm going to tell you this. Packer fans that are that short-sighted, it wouldn't make any sense.
No, I'm not saying Packer. I'm saying nationally speaking, that would be the narrative. Monday morning
national
on
people,
first take and get
yeah,
up.
Yeah, for Jesse, for sure for those for 2 or 3 days. But again, unless Pittsburgh is running away with it and Green Bay is struggling and is at like 3-5 and lose that game, then yes. But this is a much bigger picture. The much bigger picture than that. So that's why I'm not going to get caught up in all of those things. I don't buy that for any part of it. I don't.
Wilding Tausch trivia coming up next, presented by Vortex Golf. We'll have to ask Jason what he thinks about that question, too. I think that's an interesting one. 844-770-3776. Wilding Tausch trivia presented by Vortex Golf. This is your final week to have a chance to win the rangefinder along with the swag bag from our friends at Vortex Golf. You're going to want to get in. We're going to take a hefty caller number here today to give you a good chance to get in. Caller 20. Right now at 844-770-3776, Wilding Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Today's category, Brewers Big League debuts in honor of The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, getting the start on the mound tonight for the Brewers. Brewers Big League debuts, today's trivia category, presented by Vortex Golf, 844-770-3776. We will take caller 20 right now. Tausch, before we go to break, yesterday at the ball game, I know you had a Coors Light or two, so did I.
Well, whether you're tailgating, pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, let you crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Brewed with that 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and it is cold package because it is made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Phones are ringing. Caller 20 plays Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf, next on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I'll be.
Wilding Tausch back with you. Jesse and Tausch for the time being. Jason getting situated as the Packers get out on the practice field for day three, the final day of mandatory minicamp practice up in Green Bay. Yes, Tausch.
All right, so Jesse, before we get to our trivia contestant, exciting, we have a first-timer for the big old Vortex rangefinder and swag bag. Before Jason gets back, some interesting news just came across my desk.
Oh, did it?
Dan Orlovsky re-signed with ESPN. He's back, baby. I was nervous. He kind of gave that, I don't know if I'm going to be back type spiel. Earlier this offseason, I think he does a great job, and excited for Dan that he's back on on ESPN's airwaves.
That's very fitting that you would announce that while Jason is not on the show for the time being, getting situated over at Packers minicamp. Couldn't ask for better. Wilding Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Tausch mentioned we have a first-time contestant. First big voice guy, what do we have going on?
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
We welcome in today's contestant. It is Daniel in Sun Prairie, making 3 Sun Prairie residents on the show right now. Daniel, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you, sir?
Doing fantastic there. Thank you very much.
I do want to remind everyone else that called in and was unable to play trivia today, Number one, you still have one more chance for the Vortex Rangefinder tomorrow to get your name in the Cheese Fry helmet to be drawn. But also, if you are looking to win a prize here on Wildy and Tausch, don't go too far. Keep your phones ready after we're done with
trivia.
Is
that right?
Just going to set that out there. If you're a fan of the Wisconsin Badgers, don't put your phones too far away from you right now if you want to still win something after we're done playing trivia. Brewers Big League debuts is today's category. Tausch, you are actually participating in trivia for a change, and you have question
number
one.
It's not geography, so I will jump in. Daniel, in his first two Major League Baseball games in May of 2007, Ryan Braun collected his first career hit, run scored, and home run on the road against which West Coast team? Is it the San Diego Padres, the Oakland Athletics, or fun fact, he went on to win NL Rookie of the Year, hitting 34 home runs in that season?
Let's go A.
Yes, sir.
The San Diego Padres is correct. Do you think that was too hard, the way you asked that question?
No, I mean, I guess you can realize at West, which league you're in. But, yeah, I didn't think that was – I would have not known that if I didn't. Decipher down.
I was in high school. I remember it was a big deal. It was like a 9-10 first pitch, but it was Braun's debut, and so stayed up late to watch that one back in 2007. Question number two, Daniel, and I don't want to jinx anything, but if you've been paying attention all week, and I know you're an avid fan of the show, nobody's gotten a question wrong yet this week.
Oh,
sweet. Thanks for the pressure, Jess.
Total Jinxie McGee over there.
Like Jacob Mizorowski making his debut tonight, Daniel's ready to rise to the occasion. Question number two, Daniel. Before making his MLB debut as a Brewers starting pitcher in 2001, which of these accomplishments did four-time All-Star Ben Sheets achieve? Again, before his MLB debut in 2001, which of these things did he do? Did he win a Little League World Series championship? Did he win an NCAA baseball national championship? Or did he win an Olympic gold medal?
Let's go A again.
Jesse jinxed you. Way to go, Jesse.
Cool. Real cool, Jesse.
Sorry, Daniel.
Yeah, really cool, Jesse.
There goes the perfect week. Sure. We gave it a run.
You berate Mike the DJ yesterday, and now you jinx Daniel.
We gave it a run.
Yeah.
Ben Sheets.
I wish Old T would have gave me that question. I think I would have had a better luck.
It's fair.
Yeah, I would have emphasized different syllables to make you figure that out.
Yeah,
all right, let's get one here.
Give
yourself
a... Just to pay it off, he was an
Olympic gold medalist
in 2000 in Sydney. Yeah. Correct.
Ben Sheets was fun. He was a fun player for this squad. All right. In their first Major League Baseball season in 05, Prince Fielder and Ricky Weeks both hit their first career home runs in the same game off of which reigning Cy Young Award-winning starting pitcher? Wow. Is it Roger Clemens, Johan Santana, or Roy Halladay?
Let's go Roy Halladay.
Well, the good news is we already lost the perfect week. So there was no pressure on that one to get it right. It was the Minnesota Twins on a Saturday night, Johan Santana.
A little lefty. Johan was a lefty, if my memory serves.
He won the Cy Young in 04 and 06, two-time award winning.
No, it's okay. All you need is one entry to win, Jesse.
That's right, Daniel. Yeah.
You get two.
So you're already in good shape. Yeah. Two of the possible four entries into tomorrow's drawing for the Vortex Swag Bag and Rangefinder, which means tomorrow is the final contestant who will have a chance to win a Rangefinder, is part of Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Daniel, you're in the mix. Thanks for playing. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you guys.
Daniel's you, a real dude. One. Yep.
Yeah.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. All right. So I told you, don't go too far if you want to try and win something here on Wildy and Tausch if you didn't have a chance to play trivia like Daniel did today, and here's why. You remember the moments from that magical March. I know Tausch does because he was there for some of it. Well, Now is your chance to relive it all with Made 'em Believe, Thursday, June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. And right now, we are giving away two tickets to this event. Thursday night, June 26th at the Orpheum in Madison. Let's do caller 16 right now. Caller 16 at 844-770-3776. Don't miss the special night in Madison featuring special guests like head coach Bo Ryan, player of the year Frank Kaminsky, lottery pick Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, and more. You can get your tickets if you would like to buy them. They're still available. You can see on the video stream, we have our QR code up here. You can also log on uwhoops2015.com if you are not the lucky caller right now. Caller 16 at 844-770-3776. You and a guest, two tickets to Made 'em Believe, Thursday, June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. Caller 16 right now at 844-770-3776. I'll answer the phones, and when we come back, Jason Wilde joins us as Packers minicamp practice number 3 is underway in Green Bay. That's all straight ahead. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I didn't get to hear all of trivia. Did the perfect week stay intact?
No, Jesse jinxed. First time caller, Jesse jinxed the whole thing.
Well, that's irritating and disappointing, but
not off brand,
that's for sure. Packers minicamp practice well underway after Matt LaFleur moved things up. And normally, Tausch, back in the day, today would have been bowling or paintball, or I think he did a golf tournament one year, which I'm not sure was quite as good of a team bonding exercise. Mike McCarthy had like the Olympics at his house one year. Not today. Packers are on the field instead with their final practice of the offseason program. Matt LaFleur explained why yesterday.
We'll be on the field tomorrow. I think that is team building, right? When you're going through some hard stuff together. And so I just think with kind of the circumstances of this year, the fact that we're the bone is really next week, not having them all in here. And also kind of what we did at the beginning. So I think it's important for us to maximize our time and get that work in.
So, Tausch, take us back, because Matt LaFleur's right, right? They had the first week in the virtual realm because the draft was here and he didn't want guys having to deal with all the challenges of being here during the draft. And now, because they're opening, he has also chosen to cut them loose a week earlier than they have to or could. According to Matt LaFleur, 28 of the 32 teams in the league are doing what he's doing. But the bottom line is that, you know, that does the one of the things that it costs you is that team building event that they traditionally have done going back to Mike Sherman, when it was actually a surprise, I think, when he did it with you guys the first time. What's the value in that, and what are they missing out on, if anything?
Yeah, I was just talking to Jesse about it. I think it's, you know, with the limited amount of time and the young players, and you're talking about, you know, LaFleur kind of complaining a little bit about not getting enough opportunities with these guys, that this was something that I think it's good to do that. Do this if you want to do a team bonding experience, do it during training camp. You know, break off. It's a long camp. Break off and do something, but there is a value to it, no doubt, But yeah, I'm on board with just letting it rip here and go to work, do your thing, and move on with your life. I think it's a little bit overblown. I liked it back when I played. I think coaches understanding the limitations you have with the CBA and with time on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Go to work. You already missed a week. You did a virtual week. Get some time. Get reps. These guys want to get better. They want to get reps. And if you want to give the old guys the day off, go for it. Let the young guys get out there. I think that whole thing has kind of played itself out a little bit.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of old guys, so they don't have that as an option. One of their quote-unquote old guys, obviously, is Elgton Jenkins, who's not participating anyway. And to your point, like, I'm watching 11-on-11 right now, and it's at three-quarter speed, a little faster than jog-through speed. But, again, the workload is not that daunting. But at the same time, did you feel like there was meaningful value for you as a teammate to do that, whether it was, you know, Favre shooting paintballs at my brand new Saturn vehicle, or, you know, being on teams and working? Like, was it more, hey, we get a day off of having to practice, or was it truly, hey, we're gonna hang out with our guys more and spend more time with each other in a realm other than the football field?
No, it was getting a day off of practice. Like that was the main. If guys are being honest, yeah, it was fun. It was more fun than going out and practicing. And, you know, I think anyone that has a job, if they're saying, hey, you can go watch a movie or you can go do this and you're still going to get paid, I think most people are probably going to say, yeah, it sounds a little bit more fun. It's different. Is there a, you know, when you're drafting guys and you maybe get a chance to spend more time with a defensive player, you don't spend a ton. I think there's a great value in that. But if guys are being honest about it, it's more about, oh, great, we can cut this short and go do something fun out of the ordinary compared to what we normally do from a football standpoint.
Well, they won't be cutting things short today at practice. They did move it up a half hour. We will. I do see Nate Hobbs is back participating today after not participating yesterday. It does appear that Jaden Reed has the day off. So I don't know if he tweaked something yesterday or what he's got going on, but he's not participating. He's in the rehab group, it appears. A few other players as well continuing to rehab. And Elgton Jenkins continues to hang out with that crew as well. So he is not taking part in anything today. We'll have more as minicamp practice number 3, the final practice of the offseason program. And then the Packers will reconvene for the first practice of training camp on July 23rd. We'll have more next. Wilde and Tausch.
This is Jim Rutledge from Jim, Matt, and Molly, a finalist for Best of Madison Radio Team for the third year in a row. Help us win it all this year and vote every day this month at madisonmagazine.com/BOM.
The three-quarters speed drill work continues. No wonder they have to work today. We'll see if they go full speed once we get the two-minute drill that they have repeatedly, but this is definitely a slow pace, and Javon Bullard would have killed Tucker Kraft if that play had been done in real time as the Packers minicamp closes up shop today. Yesterday we talked to Evan Williams, and someone asked him, you know, if you're a fan, why should you feel good about where this secondary is given the cornerback situation? Here's how Evan Williams answered that question.
For starters, I mean, we brought in somebody that's, you know, innate, that's already been a beast, you know, so far. So as far as just numbers go, we got, you know, a true guy in Nate coming in, you know, that's ready to dominate. Key has already proven that he's, you know, just a versatile factor. You know, you could throw him in at nickel and he could be just as effective as he's, if he's, you know, on the outside. And I feel like just having that versatility in the corner room, as well as having Bull, a guy that can play nickel, that can play at safety, and just kind of, we have a bunch of pieces that are pretty interchangeable. And that's, you know, something we talk about a lot. And that just leads to good thing from a defensive perspective, just because, you know, an offense doesn't know what you're going to do on any given play. So I'm not worried about our corner group at all. You know, we've been balling out so far in OTAs, and, you know, we'll see if we pick up somebody else. I know we're a little light right now just because we have a couple injuries right now. But, I mean, don't worry is what I would say to anybody worrying. We're going to get it figured out.
Tausch, don't worry. Are you going to take his advice and not worry about the secondary? Because, look, being honest, the safety position, he's right. Nothing to worry about. Corner, when they're missing pieces, they're playing a bunch of guys that have never played in the NFL before.
I think the depth of the position, you could be concerned. I think you could be concerned about the top half of it. I think we all feel like there's a bunch of, you know, really good second and third corners on this team. But as far as someone emerging and being a top shutdown corner, there isn't one of those guys on this team as we sit here. Whether or not Valentine can become that guy, I think you were bringing up about Jordan. You kind of are who you are. I think Keyshawn Nixon's a good player. Are you going to put him one-on-one on, you know, a lot of the top-end wideouts? No. I don't think you're going to do that. But in fairness, I don't know how many teams that have guys that you would do that anyways. So, I mean, Evan Williams is saying all the right things. And I don't think anybody should be surprised. It would be more shocking if he's like, yeah, we're kind of screwed. We need to go pick
right, exactly.
So yep. you have to take all of that with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I think you can be concerned about the depth and maybe that top guy, the top end guy, but there are guys there. And I think we've all just kind of poo-pooed the fact that they, in essence, replaced Jair for this season with Nate Hobbs. And I sent you guys a post on how much money was paid to Hobbs. I think it was, what is it, 18? Jesse, I don't remember exactly what
yes,
it was that I said.
Yes, for this year, 18 million.
Yep. For this year, 18 million, which is what Jair Alexander was going to get paid. And they just felt like Hobbs is going to be more available. Whether or not he's going to be as good, I don't think anybody's got the illusions he's going to be 2020 Jair Alexander. But can he be 2024 Jair Alexander? That's kind
Might
of what
have
they're
pick
banking
six.
On.
Yeah, look, you're right about that, and it's the same with, you know, with Josh Jacobs. I think is the other example, right? That you sent along, like the, you know, they basically paid Josh Jacobs in first year money. I mean, it was significantly more. He got a good signing bonus. He had a good roster or a good base salary, but they got 3 years younger than they were with Aaron Jones. Now Aaron Jones had a 1,000-yard season for the Vikings last year, so let's not pretend that Aaron Jones stunk up the joint for Minnesota either. But Josh Jacobs was the engine that made this offense go. And Goody's philosophy clearly is trade in. And it, you know, I don't know what this is like because I drove my SUV till I couldn't drive it anymore with like 250,000 miles. But there are lots of people that trade in their vehicles every few years, right? They want something newer and they don't want to have to worry about, oh, Nate Hobbs with a great breakup of a pass from Jordan Love down the sideline. They don't want to. They want to not have to worry about maintenance. They don't want to worry about the vehicle breaking down. Like, obviously, Jair Alexander's body broke down many times over the past several years. And it's not like he was an old guy. He's 28 right now. He's going to turn 29 during the season. My point is that seems to be Goody's MO, is that you can find a newer model of the same vehicle, and it may not be as flashy. It may not be quite as high performance. But from a fiscal standpoint and allowing you to do other stuff, that's clearly his philosophy. You're 100% right on that. Now, I don't know how good Nate Hobbs is. He just made a really nice play down the sideline, like a really nice pass breakup. Is he going to do that against, as you like to call him, Jay Jettis, Justin Jefferson, when the game is on the line at U.S. Bank Stadium? I don't know. We're going to find out. But it's clear that Goody believes in this approach and that he thinks it's going to pay dividends, and he definitely doesn't want older players that he can't trust to be on the field consistently. Now, the turnaround would be, hey, Nate Hobbs missed six games last year and parts of one or two others. So, you know, there's also that. There's no guarantee just because he's younger, he's going to stay healthier. But that is the approach. I am very curious after this season, though, if there are going to be some players that merit second contracts that actually get them. Because I'm starting to wonder now if he even wants to give out second contracts, much less avoid third contracts. Because even of his second contracts, what do we feel good about right now? Not Jair's. Not, do we feel good about Rashawn Gary's? He went to the Pro Bowl last year, I heard. But what second contracts do we feel great about even in the Goody era, much less the third, contracts?
You feel great about Xavier McKinney's on his second deal, not with you. But Elton Jenkins, you felt good about his second contract. You've gotten your bang for your buck there. Yeah, I think that list is – you felt good about Kenny Clark's second contract. I don't know if you're going to feel good about his third. And that just continues to reiterate that point. It's – that quote that you said about Goody and him emphasizing that gives you some insight into his mindset on this. I think it's going to be more and more difficult, and you just keep seeing it with John Runyon Jr., and some of the other guys, you're going to see Goody is on the lease program. Goody's trying not to buy cars. He's all about leasing, where you get 2 or 3 years, and then if you got up to the miles, and you know what, it's been a great car, we're going to keep going, but we get to buy that lease out. If not, here you go. We're done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go look at the next model, and I'm going to go look at what – maybe I'm going to go with a whole different brand. Now, you know, should go to Zimbrick Chevy.
Zimbrick Chevy, yeah, no doubt.
This is what Goody is doing. And some people love, like you, buying a car and just wearing it out. That's not how football players work. And I think Goody is going to continue to go young, and he's going to continue to try and find good financing – on that youth. And I don't think, unless you have an old war horse that just keeps performing and you know is going to get you from point A to point B in a great way, if you have any flat tires or if you have anything that comes up, you're going to probably get leased out. That's just how I think this is going to go.
Well, if you have a vehicle that you are ready to move on from, you change vehicles. If you have a bathroom you need to move on from, you call Kohler Services to make sure that you're taken care of with a brand new shower.
No doubt. Looking to update that bath or shower? Well, our friends at Kohler Services have an offer for you. Family owned for 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, you get zero interest financing for 12 months and a free shower door with your Luxtone shower remodel. I like that music. That's very toilety. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
We will roll on in the 11 o'clock hour. More from practice, more from Tausch, plus Wonelli still coming up. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.